Hello there.
You've discovered TalkZone.com, the best in internet talk radio.
Pro Football Weekly is on the air.
This is Wayne Larrabee with the publisher and editor of Pro Football Weekly, Hub Arkush, and the Pro Football Weekly staff. Welcome to an in-depth look at professional football. Coming up, ready or not, Hub, free agency is upon us.
Do the Cleveland Browns have a starting quarterback? Are the Oakland Raiders writing checks they may not be able to cash? And is Champ Bailey able to cover everybody's checks in Denver?
It's all just ahead on Pro Football Weekly.
Pro Football Weekly is on the air!
Along with the publisher and editor of Pro Football Weekly, Hub Arkush, this is Wayne Larrabee, and we welcome you to an off-season edition of Pro Football Weekly. The way we hear it features news and information gathered by the editors and reporters of PFW, and we begin with Associate Editor Arthur Arkush. Arthur, when you get a look at the Colts situation, obviously they franchise Peyton Manning. They're trying to work out a deal for the quarterback. But the release of Bob Sanders, now, that may have caught a lot of people around the country off guard. He's the former defensive MVP, a stalwart in their secondary for many years. But internally, this was not a big surprise. Why not?
No, it wasn't a shocking move in Indianapolis. This is a guy who was owed $5.5 million next season, and he has played a combined 9 games since signing that mega contract after winning the MVP award in 2007. When he's healthy and right, he's one of the most dynamic safeties in the league. Unfortunately, he just has not been able to stay on the field for the Colts, and the writing was kind of on the wall here.
You know, what's interesting, though, Arthur, is that as soon as he got his walking papers, his first visit was in Jacksonville, the Jaguars with a huge need at safety, and, of course, the team that's been breathing the most hotly down the necks of the Colts. The last couple of years.
Well, that's correct, and it's an interesting situation because the Jaguars are a team who obviously don't have the same money to spend that some other teams do, but they look for guys who have a large upside, who they may be able to get on the cheap, and that could really end up helping the team. As I mentioned, one of the most dynamic safeties in the league. If he's right, he could really help the Jaguars next year, and it could be interesting to see him in the same division as the Colts, having a chance to tee off on Peyton twice a year.
All right, Arthur, thank you very much. We'll talk to you a little bit later on in this program when we get to the free agency part of things. Let's welcome in Associate Editor Alex Maester. And Alex, Denver, Champ Bailey, you don't see teams signing cornerbacks to long-term deals who are plus 30, but Champ Bailey's a special case, and the Denver Broncos went ahead and signed perhaps their best defensive player, didn't they?
In the end, it came down to both sides really wanting Champ to come back to Denver. He had an offer on the table back in October to sign an extension, and after agreeing to it, the team ended up pulling it off the table. And the year went by with no talks, and it seemed like Champ may not come back next year, but recently they came back in with a similar offer to the one he originally had, and Champ ended up signing it.
Okay, Alex, thank you very much. Appreciate your work on that story. Senior Editor Mike Wilkening is also with us. Mike in Cleveland. Mike Holmgren, I thought this was kind of interesting the other day. He said, you know, this competition thing at positions is good in most cases, but when it comes to quarterback, you kind of have to know that so-and-so is the guy, and the guy in Cleveland is going to be Colt McCoy going forward. Tell us about it.
Right. Holmgren, in talking to the Cleveland Plain Dealer, you know, pretty much indicated that Colt McCoy was going to be their quarterback in 2011. So basically, kind of thereafter, the question is, how does the rest of the depth chart fall? Does Seneca Wallace re-sign as the backup? Now, Wallace, I talked to him last week. He wants an opportunity to start. Now, obviously, it looks like Colt McCoy probably is going to be the guy here in Cleveland. So does he find an opportunity elsewhere? Does Jake Delhomme come back as a backup? He's going to make starter money next year. So obviously, something might have to be done there. And we, as we know, and certainly, Wayne, you know this, Mike Holmgren loves to collect quarterbacks. So certainly, they're going to find somebody in the draft. He indicated as much to the Cleveland Plain Dealer. He loves to find guys and develop them, so you would figure that there's going to be a young guy in the depth chart as well. So I think the intrigue is really on spots 2 and 3 in the Cleveland depth chart at this point, but it's clear at the top it's going to be Colt McCoy at the top of the depth chart for Cleveland.
You know, Mike, I guess nothing shocking about it. I mean, this is a guy who had a great career at the University of Texas. There were some concerns about his arm strength. He's a third-round pick, you know, a lot of successful quarterbacks there. But it almost sounds like kind of a lukewarm endorsement from Mike Holmgren, like he's our guy for now, and hopefully he's going to take that job and hold on to it.
I think actually Holmgren has been probably one of McCoy's strongest backers, and I look at it as, again, a sign of confidence. Holmgren is the guy that really made the call to draft Colt McCoy when it comes down to it last year, and I think it has really endorsed him fairly strongly throughout the process. Now, obviously, Colt McCoy has a lot to prove, but I think he was the best of the Browns quarterbacks last year. I think he did well, particularly in his first stint in the lineup, and really, I think, gave Cleveland kind of a glimpse of what he's capable of, and certainly if he can build off that, they might have a long-term solution at the position. But the Browns, as long as Holmgren's going to be running the show, they're always going to be a team that's going to be looking to add at the position, because Holmgren has had a knack for finding guys in the lower rounds, and really, it's smart business sense. You can spin those assets, even if Colt McCoy ends up being the guy, into other players, other picks down the road. Look no further than some of the examples he had in Green Bay.
And can we assume, Mike, that they're going to make a priority out of getting him some help at wide receiver to accelerate his development?
I think so. And I think that that really is going to be something that they're going to have to do. The question here, guys, is that obviously this is going to be an offense that's going to get the receivers more involved than last year. I think Holmgren has defended the young receivers, Muhammad Massaquoi, Brian Robiskie, in terms of the production, because again, when it comes down to it, a lot of passes in the middle of the field, the tight end, the running back, things like that. I think more passes are going to go to the receivers on the outside this year, but I think you're also going to see maybe some new faces outside too. They really do need some more speed and big play potential outside.
All right, Mike, thanks very much. We'll hear from you a little bit later on in our program when we pick up with free agency. Back with more Way We Hear It when PFW continues. Welcome back to Pro Football Weekly. This is Wayne Larrivee along with Hav Arkush, and we continue with The Way We Hear It, and let's pick it up with Associate Editor Dan Parr in studio with us. And Dan, Carolina coach Ron Rivera met with the media down at the scouting combine in Indianapolis this week, and tell us a little bit about it. First off, he did make some headlines. He said they weren't going to trade that first pick in the draft. I think a lot of people were thinking they might want to move down.
Yeah, I think they're keeping their options somewhat open. Rivera also said that they're looking at about 10 different players to spend that first pick on, and he spoke very glowingly about Cam Newton when he was asked about him. So quarterback is clearly a consideration for them at this point, but it's not clear. I think defensive line is another place that they really could look at, defensive tackle or defensive end at the top of the draft. They have needs at both areas. So Rivera, while he said that they're not going to trade that pick, what they end up doing with it is still something they need to figure out, and the combine will be a big part of this preparation process.
I know, guys, I'm going to make a prediction, and I'm going to get way out on a limb here because I'll look stupid if I'm wrong, but I believe this with all my heart. Ron Rivera is a good friend of mine. I've known Chico a long time. He waited a long time to get this job. I believe 9 interviews. This is his chance to be a head coach in the NFL. Wouldn't be shocked if he trades the pick. Wouldn't be shocked if they keep it. Wouldn't be shocked at the position they take. But if they take Cam Newton, I will be stunned, because Ron Rivera is not going to risk his head coaching future and legacy on such a controversial, you know, pick as that. It just, for that guy to be the number one pick overall in the draft, Dan, I think that would be absolutely stunning.
I'm with you on that, Hub. He just doesn't seem to fit the mold of what the Panthers look for. Does he blow them away in an interview and they just love what they see on tape and in some of these workouts? Maybe this somehow change their minds. I guess it's a possibility, but I too would be pretty surprised if on draft day we hear Cam Newton's name called first with the Panthers making that selection. It would be a pretty stunning move.
Now, what about the conversation that Ron had with the media about Steve Smith? Of course, he's the one legitimate Pro Bowl player on that team. Not the one, but he's the most, the one you can count on the most, at least when he's healthy. Very unhappy in his contract situation with where the team is at. Rumors he might be traded. What is the latest on Steve Smith?
Well, Rivera was pretty noncommittal about what the future holds for Steve Smith. He says he's a Panther now, and they have talked, him and Steve. Smith is going to be 32 in May. He's coming off one of the least productive years of his career, and the Panthers' offense was pretty awful last season with Jimmy Clausen starting for much of the year and Matt Moore also getting some time and really struggling. Their quarterback situation may not be much better next year, even if there is a rookie that's trying to learn on the job. He knows that this is a rebuilding team, and as the years start to stack up for him, he'd like a chance to compete for a championship. There's no doubt about that. And there's been, you know, reports that he talked to Jerry Richardson about the potential of a trade earlier last season, and I think it's something he'd like the team to revisit this offseason, and I think there's a pretty good chance that they will.
You know, Dan, another one of your teams, the Raiders, they've been kind of busy. They signed Richard Seymour. They put the franchise tag on Cameron Wimbley instead of tight end Zach Miller. Was that somewhat of a surprise to you?
Yeah, it's getting pretty interesting in Oakland, Wayne. You look at what they've done so far. They've signed Richard Seymour to a huge deal, pretty much come back and wanted to exercise an option on Cameron Wimbley's deal that would have kept him from becoming an unrestricted free agent, but the NFL ruled that that would have violated the 30% rule. His base salary would have gone up by more than 30% heading into next year with that option, so they couldn't do it, and they ended up using the franchise tag on him instead when there had been talk that it would either be going on Robert Gallery or perhaps tight end Zach Miller. They also come out with a pretty surprising deal for Stanford Rout. 3 years, $31.5 million, the cornerback. $20 million of that apparently guaranteed. They do, you know, have to solve an issue at corner with Nnamdi Asamoah looking more and more like he's on the way out. But this is a guy, Stanford Rout, who no one thought would be making that kind of money.
Well, you know what's really intriguing, Dan, is they've spent a ton of money on all three, basically, with the franchise tag, three defensive players, Richard Seymour, Cameron Wimbley, and Stanford Rout. The reason that Hugh Jackson has that head coaching job is because he can run Al Davis's vertical passing game. He's an offensive coordinator. Davis loves offensive coaches, and yet all they've done so far is invest in the defense.
That's true, and it's going to be a lot harder. Well, it'll be harder for Jackson to run that offense if Zach Miller is gone, and left guard Robert Gallery, another person who's due to become a free agent, if he's gone as well, and it's looking like they're going to get a chance to go elsewhere. So, yeah, he does have a lot of faith in Jackson, clearly, and I'm not sure how happy Jackson's going to be if two pretty important players that helped that offense improve last year are out the door when we start the 2011 season. Now, Miller, there's still a chance he'll be back. I think the Raiders, they do really want him. Miller's told me that Jackson told him he wants him back for next season. But it comes down to money, and Zach Miller could be in demand on the open market, and the Raiders are really going to limit their options with the deals they've already handed out. A total of $42.5 million on the two players and Seymour and Rout, and then another $10 million with the franchise tag on Wimbley.
Coming down to money? I thought it was all about the kids. NFL free agency. Talk about money when we come back on Pro Football Weekly. Welcome back to Pro Football Weekly. This is Wayne Larrabee along with Hub Arkush, and we begin our free agent preview with this particular caveat to note. The collective bargaining issue is unresolved at this time. We're not quite sure what the system will be when they get it resolved. However, we do know that some 500-plus players across the league, Hub, are eligible for free agency, at least under the previous rules, and we assume that whatever they come up with will be similar to what the system they just had.
Well, that's true, Wayne. And, of course, the owners would like to restrict the players as much as they can. If they could get them to only be unrestricted after 8 years, they would do it. But the bottom line is that this was a part of the old CBA that was working. The owners don't have huge issues here, so we do believe that whatever the eventual new CBA looks like, the free agency system probably won't be that different from what they've had the last 15 years or so.
Let's start and take a look at these free agent listings based on division. And let's start in the AFC East, where I would think, you looked at the New York Jets last year, Hub. They were built to go to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl. Didn't quite get it done. Now they've got some free agents to deal with. Are they the club that's most in trouble in that regard?
Well, they've got some real issues. Now, the other piece we have to mention here is we know there'll be a salary cap. We don't know how that's going to work either. But assuming that the cap is similar to what it was last year, you can only sign so many guys. Now, the Jets have used a franchise tag on inside linebacker David Harris, so they've identified him as the top priority. But at wide receiver, their top three guys are all going to be unrestricted, most likely. Braylon Edwards, Santonio Holmes, and Brad Smith, who's both their Wildcat quarterback, kick returner, wide receiver. We know they want to get Holmes done first. They think they'd like to get Edwards on a shorter-term deal. They'd love to have Brad Smith back. On the other side of the ball, Brodney Poole and Eric Smith, two of their best safeties, are free agents. Defensive end Sean Ellis, been around 11 years, but maybe still their best pass rusher. And a good secret, Steve Weatherford, one of the best punters in the NFL, he's going to be free as well.
Well, you know, when you look at these tags, Hub, I mean, how realistic is this? Is there provision that means these guys will be tied to their teams regardless of what system the owners come up with?
Well, the owners believe that these tags will be valid. Now, again, it's going to be negotiated. We don't see that the NFL Players Association can be able to do away with franchise tags. They would like to be, but there's so much to go back and forth. What this was protection before the strike. You look at these other teams in the East, the New England Patriots, they used their franchise tag on Logan Mankins because they don't want him going anywhere. They've still got to deal with their starting left tackle Matt Light and safety Brandon McGowan. Miami Dolphins, they're in good shape. Their problem is that their top two running backs, Ronnie Brown and Ricky Williams, are both free. They're not likely to re-sign either one of them. They've got to make a decision about defensive end Quentin Moses. The one guy they do want back is defensive tackle Paul Saliai, and defensive tackle, I should say, and you know, not a marquee player. The Buffalo Bills, they'd like to get inside linebacker Keith Ellison back, John McCargo at defensive tackle, Dante Whitner a safety, and Paul Posluszny, key players on defense. But when you're as bad as the Buffalo Bills are, they're not going to break the bank on any of these guys. These guys will not be in huge demand, so we think the Bills will get at least two or three of those four done.
In the AFC West, what team has the most liability? We talked a little bit already in this program about the Raiders and some of the things they've done. What about the San Diego Chargers, Hub?
Well, the Chargers have got huge issues, Wayne, because they're top-heavy at one position. At wide receiver, their top three, Vincent Jackson, Malcolm Floyd, and Legadou Nene, are all going to be free agents. Now, they've hung a franchise tag on Vincent Jackson. If that holds, they think there are better chances to get Malcolm Floyd signed as well. Not going to demand quite as much money as Jackson. They've got linebacker Kevin Burnett coming off his best season in the NFL. Mike Tolbert was a revelation at running back as he stepped in when they had injuries there. And, of course, Darren Sproles, he got a franchise tag last year. He won't get another one. So the Chargers with some big issues. We should also add on the Raiders. You know, we talked about Nnamdi Asamoah moving on. They've got to take care of Khalif Barnes at offensive tackle. We mentioned Robert Gallery at guard, Michael Bush, a running back they'd like to keep. Defensively, they still got to deal with John Henderson, their backup quarterback, Bruce Gradkowski. They've got a bunch of issues in Oakland.
Yeah, absolutely. And, of course, we don't know what the salary cap situation will be either in terms of how big will it be and will you be able to squeeze all these players under it. That's going to be a big part of the issue, isn't it?
Well, it really is. And, again, we have to assume that there will be a cap that will be somewhat similar to what we've seen in the past. And that's why what the Raiders have done already with the huge deals with Richard Seymour and Stanford Rout, you have to know when they made that deal with Rout that they've written off Nnamdi Asamoah. They're assuming they can't bring him back. And yet they've got to do something with Gallery and Zach Miller, so they have really hamstrung themselves. As far as the other two AFC West teams, not much going on there. Denver just got a deal done with Champ Bailey, as we discussed in The Way We Hear It. Offensive right tackle Ryan Harris. He and Ryan Clady may be the best pair of young tackles in the league. Ryan Harris is a guy the Broncos would like to get done. He did not play as well last year in what would have been his contract year as he did in his first three. For the Kansas City Chiefs, they've put a franchise tag on Tamba Ali because they've got a long list of free agents, but he's really the only one as far as the young kids that came on and made them such a turnaround team last year. Inside linebacker Corey Mays, another guy they'd like to get done, a 9-year safety in John McGraw, but he's not going to be a priority free agent. Of course, Mike Vrabel after 14 years, Casey Wegman after 15 years. These are guys that they count on, but they're not going to break the bank and bring them back as free agents.
All right, stay tuned. We'll have more free agency news when Pro Football Weekly continues after these messages. Welcome back to our look at free agency in the NFL. And we're joined by Senior Editor Mike Wilkening and Associate Editor Arthur Arkush in this segment. And let's start with you, Wilkie. Free agent outlook in the AFC North. I think everything begins in that North division with the two big teams, Pittsburgh and Baltimore. Start with the Steelers. Where are they at from a free agency standpoint?
Well, Wayne, they're in a good spot with regards to Lamar Woodley, the left outside linebacker, one of the best pass rushers in the AFC. They gave him the franchise tag. He signed that franchise tender, so he's under contract for 2011. He's obviously a very big key of what they do defensively. Now, the big question for them defensively in terms of their free agents is whether or not they can re-sign Ike Taylor. And Ike Taylor, one of the better corners in the conference, not a guy that racks up a lot of interceptions, but fits their scheme very well, and whether or not they can retain him, particularly with some other good corners coming off the market, like Stanford Rout in Oakland, Champ Bailey certainly in Denver, obviously Ike Taylor's value goes up, so it'll be interesting to see what happens there. Another free agent that's very interesting for them is Willie Colon. Now, he missed the season with an injury, but was one of the better right tackles in football before the injury. Obviously, Flo's Adams sort of emerged as a guy that was a key at that position for them. Be interesting to see how that works out. For Baltimore, now they have, you know, a number of key decisions themselves too. I think the one that kind of jumps out to me is at cornerback. Josh Wilson, Chris Carr, both of them were starting this year. Do both of them come back, or are they able only to re-sign one of them? That's obviously very interesting. Also, Marshall Yanda, clearly a priority for them as well in free agency. And finally, the big move for them, giving Haloti Ngata the franchise tag. He was never going to hit free agency, Wayne.
The two Ohio teams, Mike, we've had so much talk about Carson Palmer, and he wants to be traded and released or whatever. He just wants out of Cincinnati. But let's talk a little bit about the free agents that are available from the Bengals and the Browns.
Well, I think when you look at the Bengals, you start with their big two, Cedric Benson and Jonathan Joseph. Now, Joseph, the corner, we talk about the value of the corner position, and he's a guy that could cash in on the open market, very well regarded. Cedric Benson is someone that I think is very valuable to what the Bengals do. I think he fits well in their offense, and, you know, I would think that if he were back, he would be sort of their lead back again. Another interesting guy is Terrell Owens. Does not look like he's going to be back. They may go young at receiver, but, you know, does he draw interest elsewhere? I think, you know, he's a guy that obviously I think showed he could play last year. Now it's just a matter of fit in terms of where he ends up in 2011. For Cleveland, they used the franchise tag on a kicker, Phil Dawson. Now, Phil Dawson's been with the team since the franchise began in 1999, a key part of what they do. With regards to what else they do in free agency, Matt Roth, the outside linebacker, he's an interesting name to sort of keep an eye on. And I think the other name that sort of stands out to me that's of interest is Eric Wright, the corner. He struggled this year, but I think he's a guy that's pretty well regarded. And, you know, 4 years of service, a young corner like that, could he draw interest elsewhere?
Mike, really quick, you have a couple of teams in the AFC South, Houston and Tennessee. Where do they stand?
Well, I think with Houston, the name that jumps out is Owen Daniels, the tight end. He's very talented, of great value to that offense, but he's had a history of knee injuries. So let's see what his value is and if he re-signs and what happens. They've got a few other interesting guys. Jacoby Jones, the wide receiver, is also a name that sort of jumps out. For Tennessee, you know, they're interesting. New head coach, new offense, new defense. There could be a lot of change there. Jason Babb in the defensive end, 12.5 sacks last year. He might be the name that draws the most interest. And Randy Moss at wide receiver is obviously a big name at this point, but really, you know, only 8 catches in his time with Tennessee. He may move on elsewhere.
Yeah, absolutely. And you wonder what his value is on the open market now. Thank you very much, Mike. Great work on those stories. Now, Arthur Arkush, you've got Indianapolis and Jacksonville. We talked a little bit about Indy, especially in terms of the franchise tag going on the quarterback, Peyton Manning, the release of Bob Sanders at safety. Where are they with the rest of their free agent class?
Well, in addition to locking up Peyton, which they've taken the first steps towards doing, there's a lot of other big decisions for the Colts this offseason, starting with running back Joseph Addai. Going to be an unrestricted free agent now. He dealt with injuries and several of them this season, so it's going to be a tough decision there. But Peyton has said repeatedly that Adai's value to the team with his pass blocking and pass catching and running out of the backfield, he's a very valuable part of the offense. Also in the run game, offensive left tackle Charlie Johnson is going to be a free agent. That's a guy they'd like to bring back and perhaps slide inside because his natural position is guard. Moving to the defense, the biggest name has to be Melvin Bullitt. They wanted to re-sign him before they cut Bob Sanders. Now that Sanders out of the picture, re-signing him is critical, as is Clint Sessions, starting weak side linebacker and the most physical defender. They've also got several guys up front, and then of course Adam Vinatieri, who they need to reward for an outstanding 2010 campaign. He's going to be an unrestricted free agent. When you take a look at the Jaguars, they've taken the first step towards locking up Mercedes Lewis long term. They slapped the franchise tag on him. Outside of Mercedes, there's not a lot of guys that we expect to be back. Mike Sims Walker had the chance to be the number one wide receiver in 2010, kind of fell on his face. He's expected to hit the market. A pair of linebackers, Kirk Morrison and Justin Durant, also were kind of underwhelming last season and will also be given a chance to test the free agent market. And then in special teams, Adam Podlesch, their punter, had a nice year. They'd like to bring him back, and Sean Considine was valuable not only in special teams but also spelling some injured safeties throughout the season.
All right, Arthur, great job. Thank you much. We'll talk to you next week. Coming up, free agents in the NFC East and South when Pro Football Weekly continues after these messages. Back on this off-season edition of Pro Football Weekly, along with the publisher and editor, Hub Arkush, and the Pro Football Weekly staff of editors, this is Wayne Larrabee. We continue our look at free agency, and again, for those of you joining us late, and Hub, it bears going over once again, we do not know specifically what the plan is for the system that will involve free agency in the NFL as we move forward. The collective bargaining agreement is being bantied about back and forth. They're negotiating right now as we speak. But we know there will be a system at some point. We don't know how much of a free agency period there will be. That depends on when they get this contract done with the Players Association. And we don't know what the salary cap ramification will be, if in fact there will be a salary cap. But based on the rules that were in place when this whole thing began, we'll go over the free agents as we know them today. Now, we move on to the NFC East. Philadelphia Eagles, Hub, they've got some people to take care of one way or the other and some decisions to make, don't they?
Well, they do. And just to add very quickly on this free agent issue, the one thing we do know is every player we've discussed so far and every player we're going to mention doesn't have a contract. So it's just a question of whether they're forced to stay where they are, will they have some freedom of movement. But we're only talking about guys with expired deals. Now, the Philadelphia Eagles, they put the franchise tag on Mike Vick. People should not be surprised. You want to make a long-range investment in a 31-year-old quarterback who gets banged up as much as he does, but he's franchised for the year, so if the franchise tag continues to exist, they're set there. Big problems on the offensive line for this team in past years. Offensive guard Nick Cole and offensive guard Max Gene-Giles, both going to be free agents. On the defensive side of the ball, it gets flat-out ugly. Four different linebackers who started last year, three of them are their best linebackers, Stuart Bradley, Omar Gaither, Akeem Jordan. You throw in Ernie Sims. These guys are all free agents. And then the secondary, safety Quentin McKell, Dimitri Patterson, who stepped in at cornerback when Ellis Hobbs went down, and Ellis Hobbs, those guys are all free agents. And then let's just throw in place kicker David Akers. They got a ton of work to do in Philadelphia.
When you look at the New York Giants, Hub, again, another veteran team that went to the Super Bowl 3 years ago, barely missed the playoffs this year. What's their situation like? Do they have some people on the line they need to make decisions on?
You know, I think the key guy is Mathias Kiwanuka, who's coming off, you know, basically a broken neck in layman's terms. He's a guy they love, a guy they want. Is he going to be 100%? How much do you pay him? Deion Grant did a nice job for him at safety. Their best wide receiver, Steve Smith, at least as a possession receiver, the starting safety, Michael Johnson as well. Defensive tackle, Barry Cofield. Tight end, Kevin Boss. All of these guys, key contributors, all free agents.
And when you look around that division also, Washington's usually very active in free agency, Hub. From what we hear, they're not going to be very active this year.
No, I think they'll get a couple of their own guys done. Offensive tackle Jamal Brown, who they traded for last year. He's only been around 6 years. He's really good at right tackle. They should try and get that done. D'Angelo Hall will be tough to sign because he went to a Pro Bowl trip he probably didn't deserve, but they've got to get something done there because Carlos Rogers, who they're not wild about on the other side, is also free. Wide receiver Santana Moss. How much do you pay 10-year veteran Santana Moss? And then inside linebacker Rocky McIntosh was banged up last year, but they like him a lot. Dallas with very little to worry about. They've got to get better on the offensive line. Starting left tackle Doug Free and offensive guard Kyle Kosier are free agents. Defensive end Marcus Spears. Those are the only real concerns for the Cowboys.
New Orleans Saints in the NFC South, 1 year removed from a Super Bowl championship. Where do they stand with their free agents?
Well, they made one decision the other day. They released the tight end Jeremy Shockey. Now, he was not going to be free, but at least it cleared some cap space. The big guy is Pierre Thomas at running back. They've also got to worry about wide receiver Lance Moore, starting offensive tackle Jermon Bushrod. They've got safety Roman Harper, was their best playmaker on that side of the ball last year. Tight end David Thomas, he's behind Jimmy Graham now, but the guys still want to keep him. Danny Clark started at linebacker. So, again, when you see teams with 5, 6, 7 starters to make decisions on who aren't that old, that's where you've got to be a little bit concerned.
Tampa Bay in a pretty quiet free agency period for them. They're a very young football team that showed a lot last year.
Offensive guard Davin Joseph may be their best offensive lineman. Tanner Jackson was a troubled safety, but nonetheless a starter at safety. Barrett Rood's the big guy, but I think they're going to get that done. He'd like a crack at free agency. They haven't used a franchise tag as of this taping, but he's the guy that I think they've got to get done. Then defensive end Stiles G. White, who they like a lot, will also be free.
Meanwhile, in Atlanta, this is the best team in the NFC in the regular season. They've got some decisions to make, Hub, but like on a guy like Jarius Norwood, who's a wonderful player when healthy, but he's got some miles on him, and he's coming off the injured reserve list.
And the thing that helps him is their other backup, Jason Snelling, is a free agent as well. Now, you know, Michael the Burner Turner, he has not shown any slippage yet, but he started to pile up carries now after a few years in Atlanta. You've got to get one of these guys done, I would think, as well as bring in a youngster to compete. At cornerback, Brian Williams, when he went down last year, Grimes stepped up and was Brent Grimes was probably every bit as good or better, but they'd still like to get Williams done. Offensive guard Justin Blaylock and place kicker Matt Bryant, I should say, are key decisions for them.
Also in the South, the Carolina Panthers, Hub, is there much transition going on there with the new coaching staff?
Well, they franchise center Ryan Khalil, so we know they want him back. It looks like D'Angelo Williams will be allowed to move on with Jonathan Stewart set at running back. Thomas Davis, one of their best defenders, but he's torn the ACL in his leg twice in the last 2 years. Defensive end Charles Johnson, these are the guys that they want to make decisions on.
We check out free agency in the NFC North and West next on Pro Football Weekly. You are listening to Pro Football Weekly, and we continue with our off-season edition of PFW. We're looking at free agency across the NFL, and again, the system will be defined at a later date once the owners and players come to agreement on a new CBA. But as far as free agents go, guys without contracts for next year, let's start in the NFC West. Seattle Hub has a long list headed by quarterback Matt Hasselbeck, and I know they want to get him signed. At least that was the feeling once they lost to the Bears. Following that game in the playoffs, they said, hey, listen, we got to get this guy back at least for another year or two.
Yeah, they paid dearly for Charlie Whitehurst, and they're not giving up on him yet, but they haven't seen anything to get all that excited about either, and they clearly are a different team when Hasselbeck is healthy and playing. So it looks like they will try and get him done. At wide receiver, Mike Williams, he was a breakout player for him this year. He'll be free, as will Ben Obomano, so they've got to get probably both of them done. Cornerback Kelly Jennings, they had a lot of injuries on the defensive line, and now Brandon Mabane is going to be a free agent. Offensive tackle Sean Locklear, back on the defensive side, safety Jonathan Babineau, and junior Siavi, a defensive tackle as well. So a number of key contributors to this team that surprised everybody and won a playoff game. It's hard to say, is the arrow pointing up or down?
Yeah, well, with Hasselbeck, when you saw that game against New Orleans in the playoffs, I think that kind of sold everybody in Seattle that, hey, Matt Hasselbeck, when he's healthy, still has it, as you mentioned. San Francisco, Jimmy Harbaugh, the new head coach out there. How about the transition? How is that going? How will it be? What kind of impact will it have on free agency for them?
The huge key, Wayne, is what does he want to do at quarterback? Because both Alex Smith and Troy Smith are free agents. Now, there's been some debate. Do they bring Alex Smith back or not? But if they don't, well, the future of quarterback is not on the roster right now. So what do they do there? Abreu Franklin at nose tackle, big contributor for him on defense, safety. Deshaun Goldson is somebody they'd like to have back. Outside linebacker Manny Lawson, a key part of that pass rush. Center David Bass. So a few key players. Not going to break them one way or the other, but big decision to be made at quarterback first.
You know, Hub, Arizona is only 2 years removed from a Super Bowl and a year removed from a two-year run in the postseason. But it looks like they may be losing more parts of that team that carried them to that Super Bowl a few years ago. The defensive line, especially in free agency, is vulnerable for them, isn't it?
Well, a defensive tackle in particular, Alan Branch and Gabe Watson, both second-round picks out of Michigan, both slow starters, both kids who played very well last year and in that second playoff season. They're both going to be free agents now. On the offensive side of the football, you got Deuce Latuhi at guard, and here's where it really gets interesting. They traded Anquan Boldin to Baltimore because they were so deep at the position, but now both Steve Breston and Early Doucette have the ability to be free. Doucette actually will probably be restricted, but they want to get something done with Steve Breston.
St. Louis Rams, you know, I mentioned it with Tampa Bay, a very young team. Usually young teams don't have a lot of free agents available. How about the Rams?
Nothing here but one player to talk about. Mark Clayton, off the scrap heap from Baltimore, came in. He was the security blanket, the number one target for Sam Bradford. Now he's free, but he's coming off the big injury. Offensive guard Adam Goldberg, a guy they'd like to sign, but other than that, they're in pretty good shape.
Let's go to the NFC North Division. The Minnesota Vikings, they were built last year, Hub, to go all the way and win that Super Bowl that they felt they should have won the year before. It didn't happen. They have franchised the great linebacker, Chad Greenway, who I think is just outstanding. But they've got some other guys. I mean, Sidney Rice, what do you do about him? You've got Ray Edwards off that defensive line. I don't think they're going to sign Tavarius Jackson at quarterback, but what do you see on the Vikings board?
Let's go back to the defensive line for a minute, because they've got to decide about Ray Edwards. You've also got Pat Williams, the 13-year vet, who they thought was going to retire, but now says he wants to come back for a couple years. In addition to Chad Greenway, you've got Ben Lieber at linebacker, who's been very productive for them, and Medeo Williams, their starting safety, wants to move on if he doesn't get the money he's looking for. Offensively, as you said, it kind of starts with Tavarius Jackson. What do you do there? Is he even the front runner anymore at the position? Or is it the Webb kid, who I was so impressed by? And then, of course, you've got Sidney Rice. So huge decisions for this Minnesota Viking team to make. I actually forgot defensive tackle Fred Evans, another one. So they'll start with the defensive line, and then they'll work up from there.
World champion Green Bay Packers, they have some decisions to make. Defensive end Cullen Jenkins, wide receiver James Jones, Darren College, the starting left guard, Brandon Jackson, who started most of the year at running back, all are free agents.
Well, and when healthy, I think Cullen Jenkins is one of the most productive players on that defense. He can be a different maker at that five technique. And here's where it gets interesting. Defensive end Johnny Jolly has petitioned the NFL for a return. He wants to be done with his suspension. If he comes back, he's a free agent as well. Now, they drafted Mike Neal. They liked him. He ended up on IR. Very curious decisions to make about Jenkins. I think they got to take a run at bringing him back. Beyond that, Atari Bigby, not the factor he was at safety, if Morgan Burnett can come back healthy. Darren College, as you mentioned. Mason Crosby is going to be a free agent. And then you've got John Kuhn. What do you do with John Kuhn? You got Ryan Grant back. You've got James Starks as a revelation. You got Brandon Jackson. Is there a role for John Kuhn? So a lot of decisions to make. Again, an embarrassment of riches here, but some decisions for him to make.
Meanwhile, the Chicago Bears, maybe their best offensive lineman, Nolan Crouch, is their most prominent free agent?
He is. He's a 13-year vet. What do you do with a 34-year-old center who will turn 35 during the season? When your line's as bad as the Bears was, you've got to bring him back. He made all the line calls. The one other big decision will be at the Sandbacker spot, where both starters, Nick Roach and Pisa Tinoisamoa, are free agents. Anthony Adams, a defensive tackle they'd like to have back, but not significant enough to get excited about one way or the other. Daniel Manning, the young safety, great kickoff returner. They'll try and get a deal done with him.
Detroit Lions, much there?
No, nothing to talk about. Drew Stanton is the backup quarterback. We've seen the injuries to Matt Stafford. Other than that, though, another young team, not that much to worry about losing.
All right. Thank you much. Stay tuned. We've got the Publisher's Pen coming up next on Pro Football Weekly. The Publisher's Pen with the publisher and editor of Pro Football Weekly, Hub Arkush. Hub?
Wayne, let's be honest. Everything about the NFL right now spins around the negotiations going on between the owners and the players. And there was some hope, some promise for some, the fact that they stayed at the table together for six straight days until adjourning on Wednesday until March 1st. Now, federal mediator Fred Cohn said that there was some progress made, but there were still significant differences on major issues. Let's call this for what it is, guys. The owners and players agree they need a rookie wage scale. They agree they want to take care of players who retired before 1993. That's where there were some small bridges built over big chasms. But the bottom line is that they are no closer now than when they started this mediation. The deadline looms closer, and there's going to have to be some really hard work done in the next few days in order for them to get a deal done.
Let's hope they do, Hub. That'll do it for Pro Football Weekly this week. The coordinating producer and engineer of Pro Football Weekly is Randy Meyer. Pro Football Weekly originates from the studios of Syndication Networks in Chicago, Illinois. For Hub Arkush and the Pro Football Weekly staff, this is Wayne Larrabee. Thank you for listening. We'll catch you next week on Pro Football Weekly.